Our sermon today is going to be brought to us by Fawad Masri. Fawad was raised in Beirut, Lebanon, graduated from the American University in Beirut. He came to America to study at a seminary, and while he was here, he realized the great need that existed in America to equip believers, American believers, to share the gospel with Muslims. So in 1993, he founded a ministry called the Crescent Project. Cherrydale has partnered with that ministry many times over the years. And he's equipped, through that ministry, over 21,000 people to know how to share the gospel with Muslims. So please welcome Fawad.
Good morning, Cherrydale. Great to be with you at your missions conference. The church hosted our national conference last year, and we thank you for being a partnering church, an encouraging church. We thank you also for hosting that conference. We still hear about how God used that conference in drawing people to start sharing the gospel with Muslims. Many times people say to me, why Christians are so happy? Why are you so happy? Don't you see the mess we live in? We have AIDS, we have diseases, we have racism, we have war. In the last 10 days, 114 children died in Aleppo in bombing. How can you be happy? Well, we are happy because we found Jesus. And Jesus is a cure for sin. Sin is a disease that infects everybody. Americans and Arab and anyone. It doesn't matter your race or your religion. Sin infects you. And we are happy because we found Jesus. And Jesus is the cure for sin. Many times people ask, why do you have a missions conference? Why you want to tell others about Christ? We want to tell others about Christ because Jesus, the Son of the Virgin Mary, 2,000 years ago told us, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. If you look at the screen, you see it in Arabic calligraphy. You know, the Arab culture is a beautiful culture. We have more than Baba Ghanoush, you know. We have hummus, that's another big one, you know. But we like geometric shapes, we like art, we like calligraphy. And I love this verse in Arabic. It says, لِكَيْ تَكُونْ لَهُمْ حَيَاتْ وَتَكُونْ حَيَاتْ أَفْضَلْ. Jesus starts the verse by saying, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. My brother and my sister, thank God you have a church that has a missions conference. Thank God that you have a church that sees outside the walls, because we want to be about our Father's business. If Jesus is our Messiah, He told us to tell people. It's not about adding more Republicans or more Democrats. It's not about voting. It's not about getting people in our club. It's about the name and the fame of Jesus. His name should be known to every person, regardless if they say yes to Jesus or no to Jesus, because Christ told us to tell them. That's why we do what we do. I know it's the 21st century, so we need to use PowerPoint, so bear with me. The next slide will show you where I grew up. This is a picture of my city. I grew up 5 blocks from Beirut. We have 300 days of sunshine, and I moved to Indianapolis, Indiana. And Lebanon has no deserts or camels. The only camels are for American tourists to make a dollar from you. So we get the mountains go up to 10,000 feet and move to Indiana. We have flatlands, and we have corn and the Colts. That's good. You know, it's Sunday, so somebody's going to talk about football. But I grew up in Beirut, Lebanon, and the inset is the country of Lebanon. Lebanon is a very small country. It's the size of Connecticut. It's not a very big country. There's about 3 million people who live there, but we make a lot of noise, so everybody hears about us. My mom is Syrian, and my dad is Lebanese, so the war in Syria is very close to my heart, because we're talking to my cousins daily. I told this joke in the morning, and my mom doesn't like it, but I always tell that my dad was Lebanese, my mom is Syrian, so I was a hostage all my life until I came to America as an international student. I loved coming to America as a student, came twice. To be honest with you, the first time I came, it was through JFK, John F. Kennedy, and you know, that airport is not very organized. And then America attracts people from everywhere, so my first view of America was a lot of people, everybody's dressed different, everybody looks... Some look weird, some look professional, and they're all, how do you, nobody says hi to you, nobody says, greets you. So he's like, in Lebanon, like you say hello here, you can't talk to somebody at the airport, you know, just, everybody's busy. But I came as an international student, and during the war in Lebanon, is when I got saved. During the war in Lebanon, and just kind of share with you a little bit my testimony, is my heart got hard. My cousins and second cousins fought in the Golan Heights, so I growing up in Lebanon, I hated the Jewish people. I did not care for the Jewish people. And the second people I hated were the Palestinians. My best friend Waleed died in a bombing by the PLO. I hated the Palestinians. Yasser Arafat will pass behind my house every night, going to the fighting lines. From 1975 to 1982, I was a teenager, and I hated the Palestinian, and I hated the Israelis, and my solution for the Middle East crisis was to take Israelis and Palestinians to a desert like Arizona, let them fight there, and whoever wins, give him the piece of land. Let's finish with it. Sadly, tomorrow there'll be another car bomb, because we raise our children to hate each other. And during the war, you know, my heart was so hard, I decided not to believe in God. And you know, for you, I love you Americans, you have a great society, but your media doesn't do a good job. You get 90 seconds on the war in Iraq, 90 seconds on the war in Syria. Can you tell me why the Sunnis or Shiites are fighting? They started fighting in 656 AD. Okay, we get it, but why they're fighting now? You get 90 seconds. Now you get 5 minutes on our shampoo, yeah. You get commercial, but God forbid we discuss more. And you know, you hear these headlines, oh, 2 car bombs, 4 car bombs. Let me explain to you what car bombs mean. Car bomb, they took a Cadillac, Mercedes, Chevy, some car, and they pulled the upholstery and they put dynamite, and then they add nails, bags of nails. So when it explodes, there's shrapnel everywhere. Then they put a timer. It could be 7 in the morning, 9 in the morning, noon, 3 in the afternoon. Then they park the car in front of a church, or a mosque, or a university, or a market. So the struggle for us, it's a mental terrorism. Not only that it's happening, because you don't know which one is going to explode. The Cadillac? Which one? The Mercedes? Which one? The Pinto? Well, the Pinto, it's okay to explode. But the idea, you don't know which one is going to explode. In 1 year, we had a car bomb once every 4 weeks in my neighborhood. And the struggle, you'll be driving in Lebanon, you see a head or an arm. And this is the sad part we're in, is today we live in darkness. The 21st century started with the attacks of September 11th. I had heard about those attacks when I was junior in high school. I just didn't think they would get away with it. I had heard about hijacking planes over the United States, 5 in the morning, 5 in the afternoon. So this idea is going to all go away. It's not going away. It's not going away. We're seeing an increase of militancy, an increase of terrorism. And the sad part is, it's easy for me to say, oh, let's sing a song and go get Starbucks. But we are in a dark situation. And my heart was so hard. And I remember a friend of mine told me, Fuad, if you die tomorrow, where do you go? I said, I don't care. I don't believe in God. But he said to me, it'll be too late then. He's right. My friend is right. The only guarantee on this planet, everybody will die. It doesn't matter if you live in Pikes Peak, Colorado, or in Beirut, Lebanon. It doesn't matter if you're in Africa or in Europe. Everybody will die, and you can't take it with you. That Xbox is staying. So I decided to become an agnostic. That's a good word. Is there a God? I don't know. Is there a heaven? I don't know. But I was like a little boat being tossed by the waves. And I decided if God exists, then he should be communicating. So I want to know about God. And I started reading different religious books. I read the Quran, I read the Bhagavad Gita, the Mahabharata, I started reading. And what struck me was Jesus was different than any other leader. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Jesus says the leader takes care of the followers. Hey, that's an idea. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd because I lay my life for the sheep. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, do unto others what you want them to do unto you. Jesus says, love your enemies. Do not repay evil with evil, but repay evil with good. That's a good one for the Muslim world. And Jesus says, I no longer call you a slave, because a slave does not know what the master is doing. I call you friends. The Bible is the only book that says you and I can be the friends of Jesus. But for me, this information was in the mind. How did it come to the heart? The Bible says we have to worship God with all our mind. That's your logic, that's your intellect, that's your creativity. So the way you worship God is by education, by studying, by learning, by inventing, by drawing, by music. That's how you worship God. You use your mind. So every time you look at your iPhone, this glorifies God. Somebody used the mind. You worship God with your mind. But then the Bible says we should worship God with all our heart. What does heart mean? Heart is where your will is. You don't tell your wife, honey, I love you from all my mind. She'd say, oh, that's cute. No, I love you from all my heart. You are my one and only. My will is I love you. So for me, how did the information about Jesus move from the mind to the heart? We have family friends. They're eating dinner during the Lebanese war. They have four children. And the youngest is a two-year-old son. While they're eating, the two-year-old son spilled milk. So he picked up his son, went to the bathroom to wash his hands. While he's washing the son's hand, a mortar shell, usually this big, looks like the Goodyear blimp, came through the balcony door, exploded in the middle of the house, wife and three kids' pieces on the wall. The man survived with his son, picked up a plastic bag, picked up the pieces, and buried his whole family in one bag. And that was the trigger to move the information about Jesus from the mind to the heart. The problem in Lebanon is not weapons. Weapons don't kill people. People kill people. We've killed each other over skin color, over territory, over religion. The human race is filled with ideas of how to kill each other. We killed each other with sticks and spears and tanks. And now we have weapons of mass destruction. The problem is not the weapon. The problem is the human heart. The worst chemical attack in 100 years happens in Damascus, in the neighborhood next to my cousins. And the United Nations decides, oh, it's pretty bad, let's collect the weapons. Really? Seriously? Are you listening? So if we collect the weapons, the war will stop? Is the problem the weapon? Okay, they're going to give us the weapon because we asked. The problem in Lebanon was my heart. I hated Palestinians. I hated Jewish people. So I remember like yesterday, I went in my room, closed the door, knelt by my bed, and this is what I prayed. I said, Lord Jesus, when you came to earth, you healed the sick and you raised the dead. Forgive me that I hate people. Forgive me for my sin. The more there's war in Lebanon, I want to be a soldier of peace. The more there's hate in this country, I want to be a soldier of love. And God changed my heart. I started praying for the Palestinians. I started praying for the Israelis. I started praying for the Iranians. Started sharing my faith with my neighbors. We had Shia neighbors, Sunni neighbors, Catholic neighbors. And God changes your heart when you believe in Jesus. You don't see people by race. You don't see them by their net worth. You don't see them by their religious affiliation. But you see them as God's creation. And they need to know that Jesus has come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And this morning, my challenge for you, my brother, my sister, if Jesus is just something in the mind, that's great. Let's move him to the heart. Do you love Jesus more than anything else? Would you want to serve him more than anything else? The challenge for us this morning continues. Is Jesus the center of your life? And I believe that Jesus wants us to look at the situation, and he's asking you this morning to do one thing. That's what we read from Matthew chapter 5. Next slide is going to show you what we call the 1040 window. Just a study on the countries where if you are born there, the chances of you hearing about Jesus or seeing a page of the Bible is zero. You could tell it's the Muslim bloc, 1.5 billion Muslims, about a billion Hindus, about a billion people in China, or what we call that region. But the Bible is not accessible. The Bible. Most Muslims today have never seen a Bible. I can go to any bookstore in America, get a Quran. Yet the Arabic Bible is illegal. It's banned in Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Oman. Millions of Muslims have never seen a page of the Bible. Many people don't know what we believe. Most Muslims today are taught that Jesus was born under a palm tree. No, where was Jesus born? You know the story, right? We celebrate every Christmas. Where was he born? In a manger. The shepherds were there, the angels, the kings, the magi. What did the magi bring? Gold, not silver, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They don't even know the basic of the story. And it breaks your heart. It's the 21st century. Millions have never heard. Millions have never heard. They're in darkness. They don't know how do Christians believe about God and how we live. An American lady invited two Afghan refugees, and she put a DVD on the life of Christ. When the movie was over, the two Afghan with their hijab on, with their scarf on, started crying. So the American lady said to them, "Are you crying because Jesus hung on the cross?" They said to her, "No, we're crying that he rose from the dead and no one told us." It is sad that today Muslims hear the name of Jesus, hear a little bit about his life, but the Quran doesn't detail the life of Jesus. They don't know what Jesus said, including the verse, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." After the service, please go to our resource table and get a bookmark. I have a gift for you because I'm from Lebanon. We always come bearing gifts. It's a bookmark with Arabic calligraphy. And I'm going to ask you, grab it and commit to pray with us every Friday at noon. Just say, "Lord, we're going to pray for Muslims every Friday at noon." I said that in New York City, and the gentleman in the front said, "Is that Eastern Standard Time?" I said, "No, sir. What is noon? Whatever you are, pray with us. Pray with us." This is what you look at the darkness. People don't know. I mean, how can we even know that there are countries that practice female circumcision? How can we know that there are countries still in the 21st century allow slavery? How can we do that? There are places you can buy a concubine. How can you do this? How can we even listen to the news of 114 children dying in a bombing in 10 days and not say that the planet we live in is in darkness? And now you watch the news, there's racism and, you know, reverse racism. What is that? It's amazing. We are living in days that are so dark. I want to share a couple of things. We were giving out Bibles in southern Spain, and we had a table. And the Bibles were there, and people come and say, "Would like a copy of the Bible?" And if they say yes, we give it to them. And this, it was next to the curb, and this car slows down, and the driver had a bushy beard down to his second button. This means he's devout. So he rolls down the window. I say, "Salaam alaikum." He says, "Wa alaikum salam." I say, "Sir, we're giving the book of Jesus. Would you like a copy?" He looks at me and goes, "I am the Imam of Amsterdam." I don't know if that's true, but it seems he's a Moroccan who moved to Amsterdam. "I'm the Imam of Amsterdam." I said, "Nice meeting you." He goes, "Have you read the Quran?" I said, "Yes, 16 times. He goes, "In Arabic?" I said, "Yeah, in Arabic. Why? Do I look French to you? I'm an Arab." So he left. He said, "I only read the Quran 4 times, but I've never read the Bible. Since you've read the Quran, I will take the Bible. Give me the Bible." So I give him the Bible. He drives off. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm an evangelical minister. I read the Quran 16 times. Now 19 times, because I love Muslims. He's the imam. He's the religious leader. He's never read the book of Jesus. So when Muslims ask this imam about Jesus, what does he tell them? Nothing. He's never read the book. And this is the sad part. They don't know. There's no accessibility. Their leaders don't know. And then on top of this, the window and what we call America, the window that we call Christians, is television. First trip to Morocco, I've been there 4 times, beautiful country. If you get to go, the people are wonderful, very hospitable, very, very nice people, love to talk about God, love to talk about Jesus. But I'm in this train from Casablanca to Marrakesh. So we're in the train, and this guy hears me speak. He goes, "Do you speak Arabic?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Are you an Arab?" I said, "Yeah, but I live in the United States of America." He goes, "America?" I said, "Yeah, America." He goes, "America is a bad country." I said, "America is a bad country?" He goes, "Yeah, Americans are uneducated, illiterate, and bunch of cow herders." I think he meant cowboys. So I said to him, "Have you been to America?" He goes, "No." I said, "Then where do you get your information?" He goes, "I watch movies." What is he watching? Clint Eastwood? What is he watching? And it's sad, you know, millions of people watch television and they think that's our faith. That's how we behave. And that's not true. That's entertainment. And by the way, my wife and I served in the Middle East. She used to tell me, "Why do you guys get the trashiest shows from America?" I tell her, "Honey, the trash you don't watch, you send it to us." Isn't that sad that the shows don't make it in America? You send it to us in the Middle East. So we get the worst of the worst. And sadly, this is how they view us. So we are in darkness. We're in darkness politically, socially, issues happening. People don't even know that God can be called Abba Father. Next slide is, for every million Muslims, we have 2 workers. But if it's all the religious groups, we have not enough people to tell them. There's not enough people to tell them. So people live in darkness. The next slide will show you a map of the United States. Every red dot represents a mosque or a Muslim community. 7 million Muslims now live in the United States of America. Many of them don't enter a Christian home. 80% of Muslims in America never visit a Christian home. A young lady, 16 years old, went through the Bridges study. She decided to do prayer walking. I love prayer walking. You know, prayer walking is a no-brainer. You just walk and pray and let God work. Try it sometime. She discovered their neighbors from Egypt. She went in there drinking chai, Egyptian chai. The Egyptian lady said, "You are a nice American." She said, "Thank you." She said, "We lived in this house for 6 years. You're the first American to enter our house." My wife and I decided to do prayer walking in our neighborhood. So we have a basset hound. I think it's a pig disguised as a basset hound. So we put the dog on the leash. We said to the kids, "Okay, we're taking a walk. We're talking, praying." Our next door neighbor was from Jamaica. Two houses down, a Vietnamese couple. Five houses down this way, we met a Lebanese couple. I'm talking to the wife and the husband, talking in Arabic. And the lady looked familiar. I said, "Where'd you grow up?" She told me she grew up. Her high school was wall-to-wall with my high school. She used to shop same place. We never met in Beirut. We met here in Indianapolis, Indiana. They're coming. We're not asking to anything but cross the street. 7 million Muslims have moved here. There are people from other countries, people from India, people from China, from Singapore, from different countries. Who's going to reach out to them? And many times they come here and they don't have any Christian friends. They have nothing, no Christian friends. Next slide is going to show you the struggle we have within Islam. Today, on September 11, the declaration was that Islamic terrorism, we call terrorism, but jihad has started in the United States. If you're interested, the war on September 11 did not start then. If you're interested, Google attacks on Americans since 1983. And there's a website, list that. I was there when they attacked the American embassy. And a declaration was sent to the paper that the jihad in the United States has started. My sad news to you is there is a struggle today. Who represents Islam? Osama bin Laden or King Abdullah of Jordan? Who's a great king, who's giving peace, equality to his people. And he said in the European Union, the Christians of the East are our past, our present, and will always be our future. Is he representing Islam or is it Osama bin Laden? We were told if we get rid of Osama, it will get easier. We got rid of him. It's not getting easier. Islamic terrorism is on the increase. In my book, Ambassadors to Muslims, I mentioned why it's on the increase. The struggle for us today is we think somehow it's going to go away. It's not going away. We are in darkness. And Jesus is speaking to us this morning. Next slide is Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, when you see the darkness, you are the light. What? When I read that, like, me? I am the light, Lord. I have issues. I'm from Beirut. I have weaknesses. I have problems. How am I the light? Jesus says, you are the light. What he's saying is like the relationship between the moon and the sun. The moon does not have light of its own. It reflects the light of the sun. You and I are the light because we reflect him. We reflect his attitude, his action, his words. This is why Jesus is saying, you are the light. And what Jesus is saying to us this morning is when you see the darkness, the light runs to the darkness. You don't shine the light in the light. It does not make sense. You shine the light in the darkness. I was speaking in a church, and this pastor said to me, is the environment conducive to share the gospel among Muslims? What? English is my second language. What? He said, is the environment conducive? Okay. When we spoke about the civil rights, was the environment conducive? When we spoke against the slave trades, every American should read the life of John Woolman, an American Quaker on horse and buggy, abolished slavery almost 70 years before the Civil War. He said, how can you believe in God and own another human? John Woolman, read on the abolitionists who were so committed to Jesus, they married their slave to set them free. Was the environment conducive? When Jesus stood and said, today the Isaiah prophecy has been fulfilled, was the environment conducive? My brother, my sister, you are the light of the world. We go to the darkness because Jesus says the light shines in the dark. And he says, beautiful, he says, you don't put a light under a bowl. You shine the light. What would you say today to Ban Ki-moon? Oh, sorry. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. Sorry. And what would you say today to Christians? What would you say today to Muslims? What would you say today to the United Nations? What would you say today to every person? Jesus is speaking through you, through us. We need to speak the truth. We need to speak what has God taught us about equality, about loving your neighbor, about loving your enemy, about forgiveness, about working for the good of people. Jesus saying, shine the light, shine the light. Now let's do a comparison between darkness and light. If this room was dark, and I have a candle or a flashlight, it shows me a path to get out of the room, right? If it's dark, I might not know how to get out. But with the flashlight or candle, I know. So light will show people a way out. I was speaking in Columbus, Ohio, and this sweet lady comes up. She goes, Fuad, my neighbor is from Somalia. She's a refugee. She saw her father get shot, tied to a bumper of a car, and dragged down the street. How can I help her? I said, sister, pray with her, love on her, read Psalms to her. She's been through a traumatic situation. You are the light in her darkness. The other thing about light, it shows the difference between truth and error. If this was dark, I need a candle because I might trip, right? I might trip on the stairs, I might trip on the chairs. So many times when you shine the light of Jesus, when you shine what Jesus says, my friend Hassan is reading the Bible and Jesus says, love your enemies. He said to me, I did not sleep for 3 nights. How can I love my enemies? Now please, Jesus says, love your enemies. He doesn't say you have to agree with them. My friend is an Imam Yusuf. He was in Nebraska. Somebody gave him an Arabic Bible. He's reading, Jesus says, min athmarihim ta'rifunahum. From their fruit you shall know them. He becomes a believer. When you shine the light, it shows truth from error. If this room was dark, how much light do I need? Not a lot, just a little light. Remember the song, this little light of mine, I will let it shine. My brother and my sister, don't say, oh, I don't know so much. Oh, I can't go overseas. It doesn't matter. Cross the street before you cross the ocean. Your light. A lady moves to America for 8 years. She's an accountant. She loses a family member. And she's crying. Her next lady on the cubicle is a believer. Comes around and says, hey, why are you crying? She goes, I just lost a family member back home. She said, can I pray with you? They start praying. And for every day, she'll bring her a psalm to comfort her because she was so sad. So on Friday, she said, what church do you go to? I want to go there. I know this lady. She said to me, I was in America 8 years before I visited a church. And it was because somebody shined a light to her. A small light. This little light of mine, I will let it shine. An elderly couple who are now empty nesters, they decided they have extra rooms. They're going to host international students. What a great idea. You know, the nicest thing that happened to me when I came as an international student is when I got to the baggage claim and somebody had my name on a piece of paper. I'm like, this guy is my friend for life. You know? It was a nice man from church who welcomed me. This lady and her husband, they welcome international students. Everybody has a grandma. Who's going to say no to grandma? She bakes, makes cookies. They love being in that house. And then they give them Bibles. They give their international students a gift, the greatest gift we have in America. What is it? The greatest gift is not an iPhone. The greatest gift is not a laptop. The greatest gift are the words of Jesus. Let your light shine. The last thing about darkness and light. My brother, my sister, light always defeats darkness. Always. That's why Jesus says, shine your light. The Great Commission was given to 12 disciples who were not the sharpest tool in the shed. Yet Jesus said, you take the gospel. So this morning, you have more than the disciples. You know more than the disciples. God has given you and equipped you to shine the light. So Jesus saying, you see the darkness and you are the light. You are the light. I love sharing testimonies. We had a team go to Sicily this summer, and it's amazing. They're helping the refugees, and the refugees, they come in and say, Thank you for welcoming us. We're running from war. But you Christians love us. We have a friend who did training in Greece. The people are coming saying thank you. Hundreds are coming to their building and getting food, clothing, and they're saying thank you. You are the light in our darkness. My friend Muhammad, 5 years, he lives in the Midwest. 5 years. On Friday, he goes to the mosque. On Sunday, there were 5 blocks from his house, he walks, there's an African-American church. So he goes and argues with the minister. So 5 years later, he became a believer. I said, Muhammad, why did you become a believer? He said to me, I could not get over how much they love me. Even when I was mean to the minister, even when I was mean to Jesus, they loved me. I was on the phone with him flying here. I talked to him before I left Indiana on Friday. The Lord moves when we shine the light. When we shine the light. The next slide is a picture of our ministry in London. We send teams. Every summer we send teams. Maybe God's calling you to go overseas. Oh, maybe. Maybe God wants you to go overseas to shine the light. But we go on the mission trip, short-term trips. It's about 2 weeks. And we meet Saudis in London, and we talk to them about Jesus. In the summer, it gets very hot in Saudi Arabia. It gets 110 degrees in the shade. I said that at a training in Phoenix, Arizona. And the gentleman in the front throws his hand. He said, yes, sir. He goes, I served in Gulf War I. I said, thank you. He goes, there was no shade. So basically, it's a very hot place. And so we go and we just talk to people and say, Salaam alaikum, would you like a copy of the Bible? The next picture will show you, she's getting her first New Testament in Arabic. In 4 days, we gave out 897 Bibles. 897 Bibles. They are interested. They are hungry to know about the Lord. People are in darkness and they want to know, what does Jesus say? Haytham, a Shia, on a trip, he's on the bus. The guy who sits next to him is a pastor. Oh, God is actively involved on his plan. A pastor sits next to Haytham. And the pastor had gone through our training, the bridges study on how to build bridges with Muslims. They start talking. He gives him an Arabic Bible. Haytham starts reading the Bible. He reads what Jesus says. Tuba li'anqiya al-qalb li'annahum ya'ayun Allah. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. He gets baptized. I said to him, why Haytham? He said to me, I've never heard anything like this. That God wants to know me. God wants to make me one of his family. God is moving. The next slide will show you. I'm talking just about the Muslim world. God can and does win Muslims. And in the last 10 years, we have seen an increase. Not only of people become a believer, but an interest. I've been sharing the gospel with Muslims since 1979. Some of you were not even born in 1979. And we've never seen this openness. People email us, call our website and say, please, we'd like a copy of the Bible. And our job is to shine the light. Our job is not to convert anybody. Our job is not to make people change their religion or even think about what's better than their culture. We're not trying to change their culture. What we're trying to say to them, we are shining the light. Jesus can give you an answer to your problem. I want to share one testimony. I always like to share this story. I call it the baklava story. I know Ed and I connect on baklava too. He only mentioned Baba Ghanoush. But this story happened about 5 years ago now. I go on mission trips, all our staff. We have 54 staff in about 36 cities. And our goal is to share the gospel, and we do short-term trips. So on this trip, we were in Lebanon. We had 11 Americans. Now, in America, I'm sure you probably tasted baklava. You know, baklava is that sweet that when you eat it, you get a sugar buzz. You know, remember that one? Okay, so in Lebanon, we have more than three types. We have 30 types of baklava. So what we do in downtown Beirut, we get the team, we pray, and we do prayer walking and talk to students and people, just asking questions and share the gospel in a conversation, you know, not, you know, bash them on the head. You know, some people have a tool and it's called the hammer, you know, hammer in the morning, hammer in the evening. No, that's just conversation. So I said to the team, hey, before we do some witnessing, let's go in and get some baklava. So we go in, there's baklava everywhere, the smell of sugar is everywhere, the Americans are happy. So we eat our baklava, we finish eating, and I come to the counter and say, Salaam alaikum, say, wa alaikum salam. I said, sir, I want to pay for the baklava. So he looks at me, and he says to me, are you evangelical? In Arabic, it's beautiful. He goes, are you injili? Injili means those who follow the Bible. Till now, I don't know how he figured that out. Maybe it's written on my forehead. I said, yes, sir, we are all Injilis. We're here to pray for God to bless Beirut. He said, Injilis are wrong because the Injil has been corrupted, because the Bible has been changed. So I said to him in Arabic, Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah in Arabic means God forgive you for blaspheming, for saying something bad. So he looks at me, he goes, why are you saying Astaghfirullah? I said to him, if all the Christians got together to change God's word, who will win, God or the Christians? He goes, what did you ask me? I said to him, if all the Christians decided to change the Bible, God's word, who will win, God or the Christians? He goes, God will win. No one can change God's word. I said, then what you just said insults God. He said to me, yeah, but the Bible is wrong because it says that Jesus died on the cross. I answered, what glorifies God more, to help Jesus escape death or to help Jesus conquer death? He goes, what did you ask me? I said to him, what glorifies God more, to help Jesus escape and run away or die and raise on the third day? He looks at me and goes, well, nature around us glorifies God. I said, yeah, nature glorifies God, but Jesus is the only prophet. He said, you kill me and I'll raise on the third day. He looked at me and goes, I've never heard anything like this. He took my book, Adha in the Injil, and my book, Is the Injil Corrupted, gave me his business card. He owns 7 baklava stores. He has an MBA. This man is not an ignorant, but nobody has shared the gospel with him. My brother and my sister, my plan was just go get baklava. That was my plan. But God's plan is you are the light of the world. God's plan is somebody needs to shine the light. And there are people in your neighborhood. There are people that this church is sending teams to that maybe God is saying to you, go, go. Everybody, stay, go. Maybe you go somewhere like Orlando. 25,000 Muslims from Morocco in one city, Morocco, in Orlando. You don't need a passport to get to Orlando. And the challenge for us today is to shine the light. I want to end with this story. Also, please, if we can show that. This is the Chesapeake Bay Tunnel Bridge. Has anybody drove on this thing? Good night. God bless you guys. You know, I grew up in Beirut. We have a Mediterranean Sea. This is like the Atlantic Ocean. Like the next slide we show. You're going under the ocean? People drive on this. You must have a lot of faith to drive on this, right? The problem today with missions is faith. Today, even, I'm going to bring it down to this idea. Today, the problem with Muslim today is faith, not fear. As my brothers and my sisters, I'll tell you, you have all the right to be afraid. Yes, there is terrorism. But you have all the right to be angry. I hope you're angry this morning. Absolutely. Killing children in Aleppo, I'm angry about that. Killing people in Orlando, you should be angry. Yes, you should be angry. But the Bible says, be angry and not sin. Islam is the problem, but Muslims are the victim. This morning, my brother, my sister, do you believe that your light can make a difference? Do you believe that your little light can destroy the darkness? According to the Bible, faith is action. If you believe in something, you do it. If you believe this bridge will hold you, you will drive on the bridge. Standing here, looking at the picture like, wow, that's good. That's not belief. That's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is to drive, get under the tunnel. The third one, I think, is another shot, right? Yeah, look at this. Look at this. How much faith you have? If you have faith, you're right. When we go to prayer, I'm going to ask you this. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, what is the one thing you want me to do after the service? Maybe God wants you to go on a mission trip. Maybe God's calling you overseas. Maybe there's somebody in your neighborhood. Maybe there's a relationship that's a dark relationship and you need to shine the light. Maybe there's a family member who was hurt by Christians. You need to call them. What is the one thing that we're going to do by faith to shine the light in darkness? Let's pray. Let us not judge each other. No one judge anyone, please. We have all fallen short of the kingdom of God. Father, forgive me for my lack of faith. Ask God to increase your faith. Say, Lord, let me see you. Give me power to shine my light. Abba, Father, we thank you that we can call you Abba because of Jesus. Thank you that through him, you are our Heavenly Father. Lord, millions of people have not heard this. Thank you for sending Jesus to be born of the Virgin Mary, to live a perfect life, to give us great teachings, to die on the cross for our redemption, and raise from the dead for our justification. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that ignites in us a passion for Christ and a compassion for others. Lord, thank you for this congregation. Lord, we thank you for its leader. Thank you, Lord, for the members. We thank you, Lord, for the teams who are going to shine your light. Lord, I ask that you bless us. Give us one thing to do after the service, to shine your light in the darkness. Father, we pray for Christians everywhere, not only in America or Canada or Europe, but around this planet. Lord, I pray that the Christian church will rise up as one nation, as one army. Lord, we pray that we will love you more than stuff and toys and money and positions. Lord, I pray that you give us such a compassion for others that we love you so much to cross the street and tell them about you. Father, this morning you ask us to bless and not to curse. So Lord, we pray that you bless Muslims everywhere. Bless them with the true blessing of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.